Let's continue with what we did yesterday. A couple of ideas for the Yom Tov of Sukkos. We mentioned yesterday that Sukkos, Torah tells us three times on Sukkos you should have Simcha. V'samachta b'chagecha u'smachtem lefnei Hashem elokecha and v'hoyisa ach samech. I think I made a mistake yesterday. I told you only it says with regard to Sukkos Simcha twice. The truth is it says Simcha three times. Pesach, there is no mention anywhere. There's no mention of Simcha by the Yom Tov of Pesach. The Yom Tov of Shavuos, it says Simcha once. And by Sukkos, if you look carefully at the Sukkot, by the parish of Sukkos, it says three times. Usmachtem lefnei Hashem elokeichem, is v'samachta b'chagecha. And then there's the pasuk v'hayisa ach sameach. Why are there three different types of Simcha? So I was thinking along the following lines. There is a Chazal asked a question, did Avraham Avinu, was he Mekayim the mitzvah of Sukkah? Okay, this is like, you know, type of Jewish, Medrash type of question. Was Avraham Avinu, I think maybe it's a Gra. So the answer is yes. Because it says in the Pasuk, for Hashem Beirach es Avraham Bakol, with everything. The word Bakol, three letters. Beis, Chof, Lamed. There are three psukim in the Torah which instruct us to sit in a sukkah. The first pasuk says, Basukos Teshvu Shivas Yomim. How does that pasuk begin? With which letter? A base. Basukos. Chof. Kol Ha'ezrach V'Yisrael Yeshvu Basukos. Every citizen. Kol. Which letter does that pasuk begin with?
Chof.
Third pasuk. Liman Yedu Dorosechem Ki Basukos Hashavti Es Bnei Yisrael. So there are three psukim in total in the Torah that instruct us to be mekayim the mitzvah of Sukkah. First pasuk begins with a base. Bechol Basukos Teshu. The second pasuk begins with a Chof Kol HaEzrach. And the third pasuk begins with a Lamed. Leman Yedu. And they spell in total, they spell together the word Bakol. I think the soul is a Gura. I think the Gura says that's how you know a Remez that Avraham Avinu was Mekayim in the mitzvah of Sukkah. Yashem Berach as Avraham Bakol, with the mitzvah of Bakol. Bakol means the three psukim which refer to the mitzvah of Sukkah. Sukkah represents the theme of protection. We discussed this yesterday. V'anochi Mogein Loch Secharcha Harbe Ma'od. Hashem says to Avraham that I will be your protection. Sukkah represents the concept of protection in reward for having a faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it fits very much in line with the theme of Avraham Avinu.
Celebrate a mitzvah, a historical mitzvah, before the history actually.
Well, that's an old question. The Gemara tells that the Avos, the Umakayim, the Sefarash Gemara, the Umakayim, all of the mitzvahs before they were given, even Erev Tavshilin and Erev Techumen. Now, what exactly that means, we don't know. But there is, you know, we don't really know the real meaning what it means.
Yeah. On that in particular, and here Rav Soloveitchik, he always talks about it. He said we didn't leave Mitzrayim, so we didn't. In other words, we don't eat matzah because we left Mitzrayim and like that. God took us out of Mitzrayim so that we could be mekayim the mitzvah of Pesach. In other words, Pesach we would celebrate regardless. All these mitzvahs were Nivra before. So God had to take us out from Mitzrayim so that we could celebrate all these mitzvahs that we would have to do, which we wouldn't be able to do in Mitzrayim.
These are very difficult ideas. Okay, whatever. It's just a vard. Vashem Berach Es Avraham Bakol. So I don't remember where I saw
it. Celebrated Tisha B'Av also.
Okay, let's one thing at a time. Let's focus on this. Vashem Berach, the theme of the mitzvah doesn't necessarily mean that they mekayim the mitzvah literally. It means the concept that the mitzvah represents. The mitzvah of Sukkah is a concept of emunah. Leave your diras keva, leave your permanent home, go out into a temporary structure, show that you have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If there is anyone that had faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's none other than Avraham Avinu. This pasuk says, Vehemin Bahashem. He had faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The idea of Sukkah is to have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's anyone that was mekayim the essence of what Sukkah is all about, it's none other than Avraham Avinu. Okay. And we have this nice little cute remez, Ba'kol, Beis Basukos, Kol Ezroch, and Leman Yedu. I don't know where I saw this. It could be I saw this in the Shemin HaTel by Rabbi Weinberger, where he explains that there are three different levels in the mitzvah of Sukkah. It's a very interesting mitzvah in that we have many psukim. Generally, when you have a mitzvah in the Torah doesn't give you different madregos. Be mekayim the mitzvah. You figure out what level you are on. There are some people, when they put on tefillin, they don't even think. They put it on, they take it off, they don't know what they did, they remember, they didn't remember. And there are other people, when they put on tefillin, it's a very big deal. They sit down for 5 minutes, and they say L'shem Yichud, and they have all of the right kavana, and they kiss their tefillin, they think about the tefillin. They're on a much higher spiritual level, they take it much more seriously. That's true for every single mitzvah. But Sukkah is very unique in that in the Torah describes the purpose of the mitzvah differently three different times to represent different levels of faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first pasuk is a very simple pasuk. Basukos teishvu shivas yamim. Just live in a sukkah. Just simple, live in a sukkah, go into the sukkah, and you're like filling, go into the sukkah, live in the sukkah. That's the lowest level, the basic, just the basic mitzvah. The next level is a much higher level. It's kol ezroch b'Yisrael yeshu basukos. Ezroch is a citizen. When you're sitting in the sukkah, it's not that I'm a guest. I'm a citizen. There's a difference between, like we learned today, being a toshav and a reach. When you're a citizen, it's mine. It's my country. I take pride in it. Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael Yeshu, it's a very unique word that only appears by the mitzvah of sukkah. When you go into the sukkah, don't feel I'm a guest. This is the home of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The tzchach represents the shechina, the tzila din hemnusa. So the first pasuk is, you go in, you're a guest. Behave yourself while you're in the sukkah. I want you to reach a higher level of kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael Yeshu b'sukkos. Be comfortable in the sukkah as if you are a citizen. This is where you belong. And the highest madrega is leman yedu darosechem ki basukos hashavti yes b'nei Yisrael. It's not that you're just a guest. You're a citizen. You're a citizen. The word yedu is a powerful word which means you understand. This is not, I'm not just a citizen. I belong here. People are citizens of the United States of America. They're trying to renounce their citizenship so they can save money on taxes. No, that's not what sukkah is all about. Leman yedu derasechi basukos hashavti yes b'nei Yisrael. So this is a very unique idea that when it comes to sukkah, the Torah itself presents for us different levels of emunah in the mitzvah of sukkah. Unlike other mitzvahs, where the Torah just, as a matter of fact, says, do this mitzvah, you figure out what the mitzvah means to you, and you have an appreciation of the mitzvah based upon your spiritual level. By sukkah, the Torah is breaking up the different madregos. Perhaps we can connect the three different levels of simcha to the three levels of observance. The first level of simcha is very simple. V'samachta, v'usamachtem, lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. You shall rejoice before Hashem your God. You're just a guest. Vasukos teishvu. Go into the sukkah and live there for 7 days. A guest. You check into the hotel, you live there for 7 days, and when the holiday is over, you leave. And while you're there, you should rejoice in the presence of Hashem your God. Then there's a higher madrega. The higher madrega is kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshu basukos. Every citizen. Oh, I'm a citizen. I'm not just a guest. That's v'somachta b'chagecha. Rejoice in your festival. It's a higher madrega. It's yours. The pasuk is saying not v'somachta b'chag. V'somachta b'yoyim hazeh. It's your festival. Take pride. It's not something that, you're coming, you're a tourist, you're a guest, you're observing. It's yours. You know why it's yours? Because you are an Ezrach. You are a citizen. You're a citizen, it's mine. B'chagecha. And the highest level is v'hoyisa ach sameach, which there are many interpretations of what this means, many Mamar Chazal, but on a very simple level it means pure simcha. Pure simcha is the highest madrig of leman yedu doyosech. When you come to a level of appreciation, you really fully understand that I can struggle to the Sadam Mitzrayim and the Sukkah, then you'll have the highest level of ach sameach. So this is something that I've heard. It's interesting that in the Torah there are three levels of observance. There is Pasukos Teshu, there is Kolo Ezroch, there is Leman Yedu, and there are three levels of Simcha associated with Sukkis, and each level of Simcha is a higher level which corresponds to the level of observance. The more you are comfortable with the Sukkah, the greater degree of joy you will experience. Okay, that's one idea. Let's go to another idea. Very basic question. Question is, why do we only have a holiday to celebrate the Anane HaKavot? The simple reason why we celebrate Sukkos is because Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. We traveled in the middle of 40 years, and we were sheltered by the Anane HaKavot. There is a disagreement in the Gemara. If the Anane HaKavot were Sukkos Mamish, Hashem took us out, Kiba Sukkos Hashavti Yespinei Yisrael, Hashem sheltered us in Sukkos. There is a disagreement in the Gemara if these Sukkos were Sukkos Mamish, or they were Anani HaKavot. Now, let's assume they were the Anani HaKavot. Very nice. So we commemorate the Anani HaKavot. Why don't we commemorate the Mon? How come there is no, why is there no Yom Tov to commemorate for 40 years Hashem supported us with Mon? Why wasn't, when we have a holiday very soon it's going to come to, why isn't there a holiday to commemorate that Hashem supplied us with the Be'er for 40 years? What? Oh. So the simple answer is, there were three things, there were three miracles, three constant miracles in the desert. There was the Mon, the Be'er Mayim, and the Anani HaKavod. We only have a holiday to commemorate one, the Anani HaKavod. So Mr. Rapport is answering, this is a very popular answer, that for basic necessities we do not need to celebrate because Hashem has an obligation to do this for us. If Hashem is going to take us out of Egypt and take us into Eretz Yisrael and tell us to leave Mitzrayim, He has to supply us with food and water. Now, Anani HaKavod, spiritual clouds which provide climate control, that's a luxury. Not every car has climate control. That's a luxury. Okay, today every car has, today you couldn't get away without air conditioning. You live in a very spoiled world. I remember the old days, not every car had air conditioning, everything didn't work. The air conditioning didn't work, and if it did work, you were afraid to turn it on because it would cause the engine to stall. Okay, today I don't think such cars exist. They wouldn't pass inspection today if the air conditioning, if the car is in the matzah where the air conditioning doesn't work, it wouldn't pass inspection. So, but Hashem was not mechuyev to provide us with Anani HaKavod, which did for us all of these incredible things. Now, just to illustrate this point, when we bench, how do we begin the benching? We begin the benching, I think I saw this in the Shemen Atov. When we begin the benching, how do we begin? Nevorech Elokeinu. And then we say, Nevorech Elokeinu she'achalnu mishalo. Which name of Hashem do we use? Elokeinu, which is the name of Midas Hadin. When we get an Aliyah, when we are called up to the Torah, how do we begin? Baruchu es Hashem ha'mevorech. Which name do we select? Yudkei vavkei rachamim. Why? Because when it comes to food, Hashem has a duty. If He created us, Hashem has a duty to sustain us. So Hashem gives us food with din. Nevorech Elokeinu. Torah was a gift. It was not necessary for Hashem to give us the Torah. Hashem did not give the Torah to the nations of the world. Hashem gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael as a gift. So Torah is a gift. It's rachamim. So we begin our aliyah with Baruch Hu es Hashem Yudke Vavke. Whereas when we thank Hashem for food, Hashem to some degree has an obligation to support us, to sustain us. So we begin our bracha with the words Nevarech Elokeinu Shachal Mishlo. we take this idea, just go one step further. When it comes to the three miracles which occurred in the desert, two were necessities, water and food. Food and water. So therefore, we don't have to make a holiday to commemorate these miracles because these were necessities. Whereas the Anani HaKavod was an act of kindness, more than we deserved, a luxury, and therefore we have a holiday. That is the simple answer that you'll find in many Sfarim. I came across another idea, a very beautiful idea, opens up a whole new understanding into the end of Sukkot. We know that Avraham Avinu, we read this in the landing on Rosh Hashanah, Vayita Eshel. He planted an Eshel. Eshel literally means an orchard. The Chazal Darshan had Avraham establish a hotel. He was the first person to make a hotel. It was called Hotel Eshel. And what did he provide in Hotel Eshel? Aleph. Aleph Eshel is Rosh Hashanah. Achila. Shin is Shasia. Lamed Lina. Lina, but it doesn't. There are different interpretations. Lina, lodging, but it also means levaya, means to escort, which means that when a person would leave, besides Avram giving you food and giving you drink, when you would leave, you know, they call for you a taxi. Where does it come this new? You go to a fancy hotel and you walk out of the hotel, they provide, you want a taxi? Get a taxi yourself. You already paid the bill. We're not going to give you a taxi. That's part of levaya. You escort the person. It's derech eretz. When a person leaves, you make sure he has a safe trip home. So the best you can do is that when the person walks out of the hotel, you have a doorman and you make sure that he safely gets into his cab. You escort him as far as he can go. There are halachas. You have to escort a guest. Dal ramas. Achila, shesia, and levaya to escort. There was a story with the Hasidic Rebbe, a chassid, who was very generous. And he hosted many poor people, many distinguished people. And one day, his hotel went up in smoke. The whole place burned down. And it was a center for chesed. And the whole thing burned down. So he went to his Rebbe and he complained, "Is this the schar that I get? I go and I support all these poor people. I'm so kind. I provide food, shelter, and drink. And look what happened." So the Rebbe said, "Let me ask you a question. When the people want to leave, do you escort them? Or when they check out, you're on your own?" So he said, "No, I don't escort them. They come to my hotel. I give them food and drink. Food and drink. That's it. That's ish. If you don't have the lamid, the lina, the escort, that all you left with ish, that's why your hotel burned down." Now, where do we find this? This is a very important halacha. Dal Ramas. Now, to bring out this point, this is a very important pasuk that really brings out the entire thing, the parash of Egla Arufa. What happened in the story of Egla Arufa? There's a corpse lying in between two cities, and the corpse, we don't know, and we don't know who killed, we don't know who the murderer is. So what is halacha? Does the kainim have to go out, and they have to measure, they have to investigate the closest city, to whom is the corpse closest to? And whoever the corpse is closest to, we assume that is where the murderer came from. And that city has to bring an egla arufa, a young calf. It's decapitated, and the zakenim have to go out, and they have to make a declaration, v'yanu v'yamru yodenu loy shofichu es hadom hazeh v'yeinenu loy ra'u. And then they beg Hashem to bring atonement, kaper la'amcha Yisrael asher podisa Hashem, v'al titein dom hanoki b'ker amcha Yisrael, v'ni kaper lohem adam. Rashi here quotes Chazal, very important Chazal. Chazal say, when they go out, the einenu lo ra'u, our eyes did not see. Here it is, yodenu loy shofecha. V'chi olsa alev shezikne bestin shevche damim heim. Are the leaders of the Sanhedrin, are they murderers? What kind of statement is this? Yodenu loy shofchu es adam hazeh. We did not spill this blood. Would a person think that the Zakenim and Bezin, they're murderers? Why should they have to make this statement? And the answer is, Ella, loy re'inuhu upatrinuhu biloy mezoinois uvilo levoya. We did not see him leave our city without being escorted. Now, so the question is, what does that mean? Meaning that if they would have escorted him, of course they'd murder him. But at the very least, when he left their city, someone should have called a cab. Someone should have made sure he has a safe journey. No one accompanied him out to the outskirts of the city to make sure that he's safely on his way. What does that mean? So the Mefarshim explained, there are different approaches to understand what this Chazal mean, but one popular approach is, why didn't the person fight back? The person was traveling, and he was attacked by a robber, a highwayman. Why didn't this victim fight? Right? The answer is, he did not have enough self-esteem. If this victim had enough self-esteem, he would not have been vulnerable. Not necessarily to fight back. Abandoned wouldn't have had the chutzpah. You see a person that's very self-confident, full of self-esteem, you're not so quick to start up with him. To go, even if you're going to rob, you're not going to kill him so quickly. But when you see a nebuch on the street, no one cares about this person. I can just murder him and no one will even investigate. The person lacks self-esteem, and that's why he was an easy target. He was an easy target and he didn't fight back. Why did he lack self-esteem? Because no one could care less about him. Why? What do you mean? How do we know no one could care less? No one provided him with mizonos, and no one was willing to escort him safely out of the city. If someone would have escorted him outside of the city, it would have built up his self-esteem. He would not have been an easy target. His mazel would have been different. You know, a person has self-esteem, it's not just what the way you look. A person's mazel is different. He would not have been murdered. And therefore, the Zakenim have to say, Vidui, Yodeinu lo shafchu es hadam hazeh, we're guilty. We let this person fall into a state of depression. We did not give him enough self-esteem. We did not honor him. And the very least we could have done to show him honor is to escort him to the outskirts of the city. Okay, now, what is the man? Man is mizonos, food. What is the be'er? Water, drink. What is the anani hakavod? The anani hakavod was Hashem's way of showing Klal Yisrael, I'm escorting you out of Mitzrayim and all the way into Eretz Yisrael. The anani hakavod is the levoya. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. He took us to Eretz Yisrael. Hashem could have said, listen, I'll see you there. I'm sending you out. I'll do all these miracles. I'll wipe out shock and awe. I will wipe out Paro and all of the Egyptians. Here is some food. Here is some water. I'll give you the man. I'll give you the be'er. And I'll see you guys. I'll see you in 40 years. Make sure you show up at the doorstep of Eretz Yisrael. And we'll take it from there. Bye. Hashem did not do that. Hashem escorted Klal Yisrael. Levoya. Yeah. How did Hashem escort Klal Yisrael? Through the Anani HaKavod. What is Levoya? Levoya gives a person self-esteem. I'm not just providing you with the necessities. Here, you're in my hotel, food and water. Let me escort you. Let me show that I care about you. That's something that's very special. It's not just that it's a luxury. It's a whole different attitude. It's something which builds up a person's self-esteem, gives a person self-worth. That's why it's called Anani HaKavod. We learned yesterday, Ezehu Mechubod HaMechabed. Why do we call it the Anani HaKavod? Simply because that's where the Kvoid HaShchina, it's the honor of Hashem. That's one interpretation. But on a much deeper level, Kavod is giving. To be mechaved, ezehu mechubad hamechaved. The anani hakavod is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave honor to Klal Yisrael by escorting them in the desert for 40 years. Levoya. That's what Sukkot is all about. Sukkot is all about the idea, look who we are. We are the Am HaNivchar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu escorted us, was melave us. In the desert. That's a whole different level of whole different relationship, a whole different concern. That's exactly what the Zikni Ha'ir are being given Musa. Why didn't a person escort this individual when he left the city? That's why he died. That's why he could have died. This gives us a whole new approach to the Sukkis. Anani HaKavod is the gather of Levoya. And we should learn from that when it comes to our Chaver, Adam L'Chavero, we also have an obligation of Levoya to escort, to look at a person where they stand later down the road. You know, always the difference between great, there's different types of like leaders. Rosh Yeshiva. A certain Rosh Yeshiva who, when you're in the Yeshiva, you're my Talmud, I'll teach you Torah, I'll learn with you, I'll take care of you. And once you graduate, and once you're out of here, I don't want to know from you, unless you'll send me a check. I don't want to know from you. That's not a Rosh Yeshiva. A Rosh Yeshiva has to be Achila, Shasia, Lechem, is Torah, L'chulachem, U'blachemi, Mayim, Ho'kol, Tzavu, L'chulamayim. But the job of a Rebbe is also to be Mekayim, not just the Mayim and the Mazon, the Torah, but Levoya. When the Talmud leaves the Yeshiva and goes further in his life, the Rebbe has to go with him, be there. At different stages in his life, Levoya. That's what Sukkis is all about. It's the Levoya. It's the escorting of the person, the care for the person later on down the road. Yeah.
I remember learning, I think it was Shefa Makasu, the other way, the Rebbe goes into Golos.
Yeah.
So tell me the other way around, isn't it? They're on the Bayah Hill.
It goes both ways. If the Talmud goes into the Golos, the Rebbe has to come to him also. It goes both ways. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have
more benefits.
The nani
for the
everything, climate control.
And also the ironing the Simrat Halubartome Alecha, it was smoothing the
paved the roads.
Yeah.
Their clothing, their shoes did not wear out. Their clothing did not wear out. The Nani HaKavod provided many benefits, many miracles. Yeah. I never appreciated climate control until once I rented a car. So I rented a car. They only had a very nice car. They had a hybrid. It was a hybrid, and it was a luxury car. And they gave it to me at a very cheap price because they had nothing else. So it was an experience. Everything was an experience with that car. First of all, it was an American, whatever. But one of the things, what? I remember the exact name of the car.
Prius.
No, not a Prius. No, it was a high, different Focus,
anyway.
Maybe. Okay. Climate control. Wow. That is an amazing thing. You just press it, which whatever.
Digital,
and it just maintains the temperature that you press into the computer. That is a luxury. So you can appreciate the Anani HaKavod provided the climate control.
That's what Rian it is.
Okay, let's go to another idea. We have the Esrog. The Esrog, according to Chazal, was the fruit, according to one opinion, this is the Gemara has different opinions, was the fruit which Adam HaRishon ate from. Adam HaRishon was told, do not eat from the Eitz Hadas. Which fruit was the Eitz Hadas? Two different opinions. Was it Geth and Chita? One opinion of the Gemara was an Esrog. Now there's a Medrash. This, I believe, is Narizal. The Narizal says that when the Nachash had a conversation with Chava, and said, Chava, how come you don't eat from the Eitz Hadas? Chava said, Hashem has told us we can't touch it. Not only may we not eat it, we can't touch. Really? You can't touch it? Let's see. So the Nachash at that time had legs, at that time spoke, before the Nachash was cursed, spoke, had legs, it went to the Eitz Hadas, it touched the Esrog. You see, nothing happens. It's delicious. Why not partake from the Esrog? As the Nachash, the Medrash says, that as the Nachash approached the Eitz Hadas, which was the Esrog, according to one opinion, to touch, to feel, and to partake, the Esrog saw the Nachash coming, saw what was happening, and said to the Nachash, what was mispalel to Hashem, Al tivoeini regel gava. Don't let the foot, the Nachash at this time had feet, perfect pasuk, because at this time it had very beautiful feet before Hashem took away the pride of the Nachash, cut down its feet. Do not let the foot of the ga'ava, of the arrogant one, come near me. Tovo Eli. Tivo'eni means to come to me. Hashem, please, do not let the foot of this arrogant creature come near me. I know what he's trying to do. He's trying to convince Chava to eat from me. When you have given the command not to eat from me, I don't want this to happen. But unfortunately, the pasuk goes on, V'yad Rishaim al tinideni, do not let the hand of the wicked, let it not come, and today means to judge me. Okay, but at least the beginning of the pasuk, so the medrash says, "Al tiva any regal gava, do not let it come upon me." So the Arizal says, "Why did the Eitz Hadas recite specifically this pasuk in Tehillim, which will one day be part of Tehillim? Because the Rosh Tevos of this pasuk are Esrog, Al, Aleph, Tivo Eni." Is tough, S, Reish Regel, and Gimel is Gava.
Yeah.
So the Esrog was speaking its own language. Esrog was the most beautiful fruit, and Chazal tell us that the Esrog was the Eitz Hadas. The Nachash came to approach, and the fruit spoke the Rosh Tevos of its name, of its essence. Therefore, Esrog stands for Al Tivo Eni Regal Gav. I will never tell you a var. You can take any word. I think Lulav, you can probably go take a computer and you can find a thousand psukim that Lulav is Rosh Tevos, this. That's not the real thing. Only what Chazal tell you is the Rosh Tevos, do you have a right to say there's deeper meaning. Elo, Ani Lidodi Vidodi Li. That's the real deal. What, I'm going to go take out a computer and find you a million different acronyms for the word Esrog? That's meaningless. But this is an Arizal, and this is a Chazal, and it fits perfectly into the entire story of what happened during the time of the Eitz Hadas. The Eitz Hadas was the Esrog. The Nachash came to approach to convince Chava to eat. The Esrog spoke Al Tiva Eni Rekel Gava. Why that pasuk? Because that pasuk is the Rosh Tevos of Esrog. So what do we learn? We learn that Esrog is associated with a desire. Do not become a Baal Gaiva. What's the what, now? The question then is, why from all the Dalad Minim, Lulav, Hadassim, Aravos, and Esrog, is it only the Esrog that is associated with Gaiva? Why Esrog? The answer is because what does Esrog represent? Esrog is Tam Vereach. Esrog is the perfect fruit. Lulav only has tan, there is no reach. Hadassim only have reach, there is no tan. Aravos have neither, no tan and no reach. The Esrog has both tan and reach, which according to Chazal represents a person who is a Talmud Chacham and has Maisim Tovim. Tan represents Maisim Tovim, and reach represents Torah. The Esrog has tam v'reach. It represents the individual that is filled, the tzaddik yisod olam is filled with tam v'reach. The more perfect you are, the more susceptible you are to become a baal gaiva. A person that only has tam, doesn't have reach, or only reach v'loy tam, or no tam v'loy reach, is not that susceptible to become a baal gaiva, because you look at yourself, you right away see that you're deficient. But the more perfect the person is, that's where the nesoyin of gaiva comes. And that's the Musar Haskel in the mitzvah of Esrog. Esrog represents perfection. Tam v'reach, the synthesis of perfection. With perfection comes the nesoyon of gaiva. And that's why the essence of Esrog speaks to us and says, I'm perfect. You are perfect. Every person in their life has some degree of perfection. No one's perfectly perfect, but everyone has something in their life which is unique. And in that realm, they are perfect. With that perfection comes the nesoyon of gaiva. And therefore, when you look at the perfect Esrog, you have to remember, Al tivoeini regel gaiva. Careful. Candle with care. Don't come liday gaiva. Now, to illustrate this, I saw a beautiful remes by Rav Pinchas Friedman. He quotes this in the name of some very esoteric farshim. It's a pasuk in Bamidbar that discusses the story of the Meraglim. We know the Meraglim, let's just take a step back. We know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Hashem said He wanted the fruit, eight hama. Hashem wanted the eights should have the same taste as the pre. Hashem gave a command, Totze Aretz, eights peri. The command was, the earth shall produce eights, wood fruit, which Chazal interpret to mean, it was Hashem's original intent, that just as the fruit is edible, the wood, the tree, should be edible. The earth disobeyed Hashem's command. Vatas Aretz eats osepri. Not eats peri, but eats osepri. The eats is not edible, but it will produce a fruit that is edible. The earth rebelled. This is a Chazal. And because the earth rebelled, that set the stage for man to rebel. And that's why we say in the Vidim Malkeinu, Zochar Hashem ki ofer anochnu. The famous part, remember that we're offer, we come from the earth. The earth rebelled. We are rooted in sin. We're not the first ones to sin. The earth sinned. The earth was commanded to produce eitz peri, tam eitz ketam apri. The earth rebelled, produced eitz oseh peri. We human beings are a product of the earth. Ofar min hu adama. So what do you want from us? We're a product of an object which has sinned. That's why we sin. Therefore, we want to plead. That should be a defense. Don't totally blame us for our sins. We take responsibility, but we are susceptible to sin. Okay. Chazal tell us that there's one exception. The only exception to the fruit that is oseh peri is the esrog. The esrog is a fruit which, I don't know exactly how this works, but the tam eitz ketam hapri. That the esrog, the peel, is edible. Regular fruit, you have an orange, so the orange peels are really, even though they covered in chocolate and they sell it as a delicacy, but generally you don't eat the orange peels, you don't eat, but an esrog is a fruit which Chazal describe as the exception where the eitz, the wood, is equal to the fruit. It's the perfect fruit. Tam eitz ketam hapri. I don't know exactly what that means, but that's what Chazal say. Now let's go to.
Excuse me.
Let's go. I have to finish. We're out of time.
How it is possible that the peri that was cursed and made problem for the all the nations is going to be
the perfect fruit?
Perfect fruit?
It's a good question. It's a very good question. I don't know the answer. Yeah. Now let's go to Bamidbar Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Chav Gimel. This is a beautiful remez. The Meraglim are coming into Eretz Yisrael. Now let me even go take a step back. Hashem gives us a command to inherit, to possess Eretz Yisrael. And the words in this is Vayikra Perek Yutes Pasuk of Gimel. The Pasuk says, Ki Savo El Haaretz Unitatem Kol Eitz Machol. Hashem gives you the command to plant trees, and it goes on to discuss the laws of Orla. When the Torah gives us a command to plant trees, it tells us to plant Eitz Machol. Chazal Darshin, that this is a very esoteric type of Jewish, that when Mashiach will come and we will possess the land for real, forever, permanently, we will once again merit to rectify the chait of the original tree, and at that time the tree will also be edible like the fruit. And that's what the pasuk means. Unetatem, you will plant kol eitz machol. If you translate the words literally, you will plant an eitz that you can eat. Now, we don't translate that because to us it doesn't make any sense. You can't eat a tree. So we loosely translate eitz, a tree that produces machol. Okay, that's very common. Every pasuk in Tanakh, we've been doing that. We've been always adding words and interpreting psukim in order to make sense out of the pasuk. But if you were to take the pasuk very literally, the pasuk would mean you shall plant an eitz that you can eat. It doesn't make any sense. The answer is it does make sense. sense when you know that originally HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what he wanted. He wanted the eitz to be edible. It's the earth that rebelled and produced eitz osepui. But the day will come once again when Mashiach comes, when Yimos HaMashiach, when the world reaches a state of perfection, where the eitz will be eitz macha. Okay. The Meraglim enter Eretz Yisrael. Then it's a remes. This is not pshat. This is not Jewish. This is not so. This is remes. So you have to give me a little leeway, but it's a very beautiful remes. And it brings out the point. The Meraglim, they enter Eretz Yisrael. When they come to Eretz Yisrael, to a certain degree, they're coming to possess the land for the very first time. This is the very first time that Klal Yisrael, representatives of Klal Yisrael, are stepping foot on the Holy Land after we have been made into a nation. Avraham Avinu, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, they were promised the land. We went down to Egypt. We were there for 210 years. We left Mitzrayim. We're in the desert. Hashem gave us the Torah on Har Sinai. He told us to give the land. We're now coming there for the very, very first time to possess Eretz Yisrael. And the Meraglim come, the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Chav Gimel, Vayavohu ad Nachal Eshkol. They come to Nachal Eshkol. Vayichrusu Misham, and they cut down a branch. What do they cut down? Zemora. Zemora means a twig. That's wood, right? It's a twig.
Right.
Wood, branch. The Eshkol, Anavim, a cluster of grapes. Echad. One branch with a cluster of grapes. But the Darshanim take this pasuk to mean when they came now to possess the land, they came to restore Eretz Yisrael to its state before of Ma'ase Bereishis, where it's eitz pri. So that's what the pasuk alludes to. The Zemora, the branch, and the Eshkol Anavim, the wood, the branch, and the cluster of grapes was Echad, was all the same. Just like you can eat the grapes, you can eat the Zemora. It's Echad, it's one. It's one. Because they're coming into the land with Kedusha, to possess these with Tzadikim Gemur. Can't even imagine who the Meraglim were before they became corrupt. They were Tzadikim, they were the Nesim. These are not simple people. These were the Gedolei Hador. They became corrupt, except for Yeshua and Kalev. They're coming here to be Misak in the earth. But what happened? Again, this is a remes. Let me first translate the pasuk simply, the way we translate, then I'll show you the remes. Vayisa'uhu, they picked it up, they lifted it up. Vamot, on a pole. Bishnoim, two people. You stand in the front, I'll stand in the back, like we see on these pictures, right? And I'll have a pole, and we'll put the cluster, the zemot, the cluster of grapes in the center, and we'll carry it on our shoulders, two people, and we'll bring it back to the midbar to show the massive fruit of Eretz Yisrael. That is the simple interpretation. But the Darshanim say, Vayisa'uhu, you know what happened to the Nesiim? The Meraglim? They became arrogant. Vayisa'u lashon of se'es. They uplifted themselves. They got carried away. When you're dealing with the Esrog, where it's tam eitz ketam apri, when you're dealing with perfection, what's the nesayon? Daiva. As the pasuk says, al tiva'eni regel gaiva. They became arrogant. Oh, you became arrogant, you became gaiva, you were nichshol in the nesayon that comes with perfection. You're coming here to a time where you're going to possess Eretz Yisrael, and you took pride that you are the Gedolei Hador. It's going to be you who are going to do this and possess for the very first time Eretz Yisrael. You want to be about gaiva? Vamot. Now, vamot also means to falter. Vamot simply means a pole. That's how but mot means multitude. There are many. The shorish of memtes means to falter, to topple. They became arrogant, and due to the arrogance, they collapsed. They fell off the cliff. They descended from their exalted spiritual madrega. And then what happened? Bishnoyim. The Echad, the Zemora, and the Eshkol Anavim, which was now Echad, Eitz Peri, since you have failed, Al tivoeni regel gava. You go back to the way we were after the chait of the Eitz Hadas. It's Eitz Oseperi. No longer were they zocha to the echad. It went back to the shnoim, to the two separate things. So this is the Musa Haskel. The Musa Haskel of an Esrog is Esrog represents perfection. It represents perfection in two different ways. Number one, it represents perfection that it's tam v'reach. It represents the person who has Torah and Ma'asim Tovim. It's the only food that Chazal tell us has a token fulfillment of what the world was like, what the world was meant to be. Eitz Peri. Again, I do not know what it means, but the Esrog has some degree where the Eitz and the Peri are Shavah. You can eat the Eitz. It's the only one, which means it is the ultimate perfection. When you're dealing with ultimate perfection, comes the Yetzirah of Gaiva. And that's why the Esrog's, the Rosh Tevis for Esrog is Al Tevoeni Regal Gaiva. And that's what the Esrog itself said to the Nachash. And that's the Nisayon. And the Remez here is in the Meraglim of Echad and Shnoyim. And when we look at the Esrog, the Musar Haskel staring us in the face is, humble yourself. Don't get carried away. You're nothing special. You're just a person. That's the Musar Haskel of the Esrog with the Dalaminim. Okay, we will stop here. Have a wonderful Yom Tov. So I'll see you on Monday at 10:30 for the abbreviated share. Have a wonderful Yom Tov.
مونده بشمعیا و عرب امرو آمین شنما ربان میشمعی خیم به سبا و شوان همان زبا و فوا و گلا و سیا و خبر را بیده و سلالان و خول همان سر امرو آمین مثل شنما ببنما و برامو یه عصی شنما بلیم از کل همان سر امرو آمین بگوان
That's it. Have a wonderful Yom Tov. That's it. No, not tomorrow. Have a good Yom Tov.
You're going to Lakewood?
Yom Tov. I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying here.
You're going to Lakewood?
You're going to Lakewood? Good Yom Tov. Good Yom Tov. Take care.
I never ate Esrog.
I never ate Esrog.